Good evening, morning, day, whatever it is for everybody out there. I am Eric Taylor, aka The Extraterrestrial, and welcome back to Main Street DSA. We had our little hiatus due to Destiny, but then last week I was in a lot of pain and was not up to recording, so we took the week off. But I'm back, and as always, I am joined by my legendary co-host, Ednamo's most esteemed guest himself, Matt Strebel. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing well. It's been a long day of merger chaos within the clubs, so my brain is fried. But outside of that, yeah, life is good.
Good. I am on different audio hardware. My mixer decided to die last week, so I swapped back to my my solo i2 interface, which is lesser, but it gives me less control during show, which I'm like, I have a little bit of a cough still, and so I keep reaching to hit my cough button and I don't have one. So that's kind of driving me nuts. But my week is okay. I got all of my, except Baymax because the event's gone, but I got all of my Big Hero 6 people to 7 stars. As of today, Scrooge's Money Bin helped me out because I got, I've had Honey Lemon there for a while, but within the space of like 2 days, I ended up with Hero, Go-Go, and, Wasabi all at 100 out of 100 tokens, and Fred also, but I've replaced him with Baymax, and I was like, I don't have 4 million gold just sitting around. Like, that's not a thing that free-to-play players have. So it has been this kind of slow grind, and then I realized how far behind in levels they have become. I'm sitting at a level 60 account and my toons are like level 52-53 because I've just been, everything's so expensive and you just don't.
Well, don't freak out about that. You know, I'm in the same boat, but in a different way, where I'm almost at level 70, but none of my toons are past level 60 except for my PvP team, mm-hmm. which is at level 60.
Right.
Most of my other toons, I focus on the gear and get the stars up, so that way, even at level 50, if you have a gear tier 6 toon all set and done with 7 stars, you know what? You can still rock 5 of them and rock a 35 to 3700 power team.
Yep.
So don't freak out about the levels quite yet, especially once you try to pass level 60 in levels. The gold requirement is just
ridiculous. Yeah.
On a free-to-play, level 50, if you're using it in PvP, push it to level 60 if you can. Don't freak out.
Yeah, I use my Big Hero 6 team in PvP, but as we both know, PvP doesn't hold a ton of interest for me. Fighting the same meta team over and over gets really, really boring.
Understood.
But I did get into the top 50 in my Sorcerer's tournament last night.
Solid.
Which was cool. So it was about 5 minutes before reset, and I was like, I think maybe I can punch up to this team. I think maybe. And managed
Solid,
to get
dude.
The win, and so that was cool.
Very cool.
So it's been a couple of weeks, you know, was off last week. I admit I didn't look a whole ton at patch notes last week because I was in a whole ton of pain and was very focused on, you know, not dying. But this week, there's some stuff to talk about. There was almost not stuff, it seemed like, which made me roll my eyes really hard. I don't... We've talked about it. I don't personally find that kind of trolling to be humorous. It just, especially as someone who's writing a podcast for Day Of, it just frustrates me. But we did get some information. So Sensational 6 will be back soon. Probably, you know, tomorrow, or it will get it pop up to be like, hey, it'll be here in 2 days or whatever. Maybe next week, but it's coming back. And the caveat on that is that part two is just around the corner. And so we need to get our teams ready because this is one of those ascending events. So if you're like me and you still haven't unlocked anybody other than Daisy, then, you know, part two is going to be out of reach for you. So if you have interest in the Sensational Six part two, your event will be back. They've also changed the refresh cost on being able to do it again. I don't remember what it was because I don't spend gems on refreshes on events very often. I don't have enough gems lying around.
I think it was 150.
Okay.
And I think they probably then, I'm assuming, lowered it to 100. Some events use 150, some use 100. Right. That would be my guess.
Okay.
Plus, all three of those characters are farmable.
Mm-hmm.
You can use your different campaigns to farm them on not extremely high nodes either. When it does come back this week, I do not expect it to come back in the same way. I do not expect it to be a week long for Daisy. Well, 3 weeks of opportunity with 2 weeks of opportunity for Goofy. And I expect this to be another 10-day event, just like Onward, just like, you know, Moana, Where Are You? Just
for
like
real.
These other events. Yeah.
Let's have that conversation. I care about that more than I care about Sensational Six.
Moana, can you hear me? Exactly.
Exactly. Like, where's my back. Moana?
Exactly.
But yeah, I think it'll be. Yeah, I need to. I'm five tokens away. I didn't get it unlocked last time, so I've been sitting on five
caveat,
tokens.
Caveat, sidebar, it's all good. But the point is, so with Sensational Six, to keep track for a second here.
Yep.
I think it's important that people realize it is probably going to be a 10-day event.
Mm-hmm.
Just like any other event, it's not going to come back the same way. Which means you probably are going to have some kind of, you know, event maybe the week after. If not 2 weeks after, as we get close to the holiday, hey, part two is coming. Happy holidays. Here's 10 days of farming, you know, for a 3 week event into the new year to get Minnie, Mickey, Pluto, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, it could roll out that way or as Happy New Year, here it is. But if you can farm them up to 4 stars, do it. I think it'd be fine if you have the resources or if you have the spare resources. With lack of need to keep your focus, which should not be many people, but there are those people out there who don't mind the shiny object. It would not be a terrible thing because you don't know what to expect. Yeah, I have two myself. But I'm kind of like, I have so many projects I'm finishing, and the past 2 weeks I've been very successful with my farming and gear tiers and trying to get things, you know, all done. And I'm down to the last 4 tunes before I start dedicating almost exclusively into Donald, Daisy, and Goofy. With that said, because there's so much unknown and there's been so much build into these next 3 tunes, I will be absolutely devastated if Pluto, Minnie, and Mickey are not worth it. If it comes out like Beauty and the Beast did, where 4 out of the 6 characters, you're only farming
just to get the other two.
You want 2 of them. Maurice, you can keep in the want category, and then you're aiming towards Beast. You have to use a boatload of resources towards characters that you're not going to use almost ever again. People are not using Cogsworth, who have brought him up. People are not using Mrs. Potts and Lumiere. Plain and simple. Belle has a home. Belle has this nice, you know, synergy with Beast if you wish to keep using her.
Well, and that princess team uses Belle, doesn't it?
Right. The princess team can use Belle where they get the tenacity boost from her, which is nice. But it's not a true, like, what we were hoping a princess lead would give.
Yeah.
A princess team does not stand up well against too many other auto plug-and-play teams.
Right.
If you're putting Frozen against Princess, Frozen's going to win. You put Incredibles against Princess, Incredibles are going to win. And if the Incredibles naturally are going to win by themselves, that's saying something to the synergy between the characters, not just having all of them have a little bit more of a boost in tenacity. That's not going to do enough, unfortunately.
Yep.
Even with Mulan being fixed broken all at the same time.
Yep.
I just redid all of my teams literally before this podcast. And, you know, there is good princess synergy in there, especially when you look at Moana, Mulan, and Ariel. Good synergy within there. Put a honey lemon in there to throw it off. It could be a lot of fun, but that's for theory crafting to mess with a slows team, if you will. Yep. But I will say, with, before I lose my own track then, if you can farm Sensational Six a little bit, 2 4-stars, for example, go for it. Because you don't know what's going to come around the corner with Part 2. We don't know what's coming out with, you know, Mini Mickey Pluto's kit yet, who they are going to be, who they're... I mean, what new abilities could we see, just like we saw with Beasts Shaken? Maybe we see something new. Maybe there's a mouse faction. You know, when we got our patch notes today, it explained something that I think was explained wrong, which was the relabeling for ducks.
For ducks.
It actually referred to Mickey and Friends specifically, because the two ducks in there are now considered Mickey and Friends. So Gizmo Duck and Darkwing Duck are now considered Mickey and Friends. So there's going to be an easier way to get Sensational Six if you've built those tunes up, or if you've been playing since launch and you've got a boatload of these Darkwing tokens for a Darkwing that you might not be using as much. Now you have another purpose for it. I think that's what they were trying to do with that. So that way you can get Sensational Six. With that said, I think Gizmo Duck now, that event, will come back next week. That's me personally. Because of the change to his kit description with having Mickey and Friends as a qualified tag.
That's such a weird tag on Gizmo. That just is so strange.
It's the Saturday cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah, but then we got to lump Gargoyles in, right? At that point, all of a sudden, Demona needs to have Mickey and Friends attached.
That's true. Good point.
And... You know, part two is around the corner, like we talk about, and they're adding a trophy to completing part one. And that covers kind of the Sensational Six bit. Stitch Tower's coming back because Triton Tower was last week. I don't know why I keep adding that. Intergalactic Rune Rumble is around the corner. Which rune? This is just runes, right? Yeah, this is. I always see these weird names, and I'm like, which stone is that? But it says runes in the title. So it's just
this one's exclusively the rune reward, the one that's got Buzz in the top of the photo. Mm-hmm. Whenever you see it on the logo, it's exclusively runes 100%. For that one, think. You need Downtown Heroes.
Okay.
Yeah, Downtown Heroes because
Big Hero 6 go.
But it's not the exactly. So, but well, careful. Because the last level, if I remember correctly, that's the weird one where it has the huge jump.
Yeah.
Where it goes from needing a 6-star to a, oh, do you want to do the final version of it? Great. You need all T7 7-stars. But it's not a huge difference between the amount of, if you're getting double the runes, I'd say, okay, that's worth something. But it's like for 2 extra alphas or for 1 extra beta or something crazy.
Yeah.
It's not enough to freak out about. So don't worry about it for your account.
Winter Club Dungeon rewards will be starting tomorrow. So by the time you get to listen to this podcast, this will be starting. I'm assuming this is going to be the Christmas version of the spooky coins in Dungeon. So this will be the Missile Tokens event is what I'm guessing.
This is exactly what I was going to say. Same thing. I think it's just, oh, here's 50, 500 here, 500 here, 500 here. Because they change the values with the Missile
They're definitely less good.
Well, I'm curious, curious to see what's going to happen on these new Frozone winter mystery packs. Because the current packs right now have about roughly 3 days worth from the time that we record this of Beauty and the Beast tokens being in there. Then, if you look at all the other packs, you see that they do have a much longer shelf. Not just another week. So you could see 3 different versions of what the missile tokens are worth. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the initial ones that we got, I haven't used them yet.
Yeah.
I saw Beauty and the Beast, and I'm one of those people that did not do anything on Beauty and the Beast except for Maurice. He's the only character I farmed. And probably by the end of the day tomorrow, I will have him to 7 stars, finally. But I think that whatever's going to be in the Frozone one, whether it be Incredibles tokens, whether it be just emotes or whatever, it's got to be something a little bit more substantial or a little bit better than the current Beauty and the Beast tokens, especially at this point for many people where now you should just start farming them.
Yeah.
If you're going to farm them at all, if you did not unlock Beast and that is a goal of yours.
Yep. Okay. We talked about the Mickey and Friends slash Ducks Change, Frozen PvP Takeover event. So they have changed the PvP rewards so often in the past time period. I mean, we had the Steamboat Mickey thing for what, like 2 weeks, and then we had Jack-Jack for a time period, and then now we're on Goofy, and now this is going to change the PvP reward chest again?
Hold on. No. Well, there's two different things to it. There's the rewards that you get within the packs themselves, and then there's the layover, which is just when they say takeover, excuse me, not layover. The takeover is the background imagery in the PvP.
Okay.
So when you're talking about the PvP takeover, I think that you're looking exclusively at the same background image that they use for the Elsa event.
Okay.
For the Frozen event.
Yeah.
That little scene that we used. Otto Holland. Exactly. I think that's what you're going to see for PvP.
Okay.
Or some variation of it, if you will. I don't see us changing the fact that now there's Goofy in there right now that are the rewards, since they went from Jack-Jack now to Goofy this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what we're going to be getting.
Well, the only reason I was curious is, wasn't the last time this happened, it was an Incredibles takeover event. And that's when we had Jack-Jack in... We got Jack-Jack in our packs from rewards. I could be wrong, but I swear when they swapped Jack-Jack in for Yo-Kai, they called it an Incredibles takeover event in PvP. But I might be incorrect. I was just excited Jack-Jack was in there. So
I was too. I mean, I any reason to be able to farm him.
Yeah, give me a way to get there.
After, I know, I was hanging on to him for way too long at an unplayable level, and now I finally have him there.
Yeah, it might not be.
I'm trying to see.
We'll have to see.
By chance, but yeah, I don't see it quite yet. If I see it pop up while we're going, I'll let you know, though.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I think the takeover is the background imagery is my assumption.
Oh, you're right. No, it was a Halloween takeover is what
right,
it was.
With the
spooky village.
Yeah, the Headless Horseman tokens.
Yeah. And... yeah. Watch us get Snow G's out of our PvP pack.
Oh, my God. Don't even.
I mean, that's that. Now that I think about it, you're absolutely right. The last one was the Halloween takeover, and that's when they put Headless Horseman tokens in the packs along with whatever we were getting. And so, like, I mean, I could totally see them giving us Snow G tokens for in our PvP pack.
So I do see it that when they put out Steamboat Mickey in the patch notes last time, they called it Steamboat Mickey PvP Takeover.
Okay.
So I think the Frozen is going to be just a background layover for the same like imagery purposes.
Okay. Cool. I just wish they just rotate it, right? Like, I just wish that it would just be, you know, you had a spawner and it rolled every time you got your match and it picked where you fought. You know, it was just you fought in different places. I think that would be super cool.
Kind of like the random button on Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, choose your map.
Yeah. I don't see any reason why I constantly have to stand in that dark, dank place except in these special events. Like, let me fight somewhere Disney and just make it random. But that's just me, I guess. Then we talked about the Frozone Winter Mystery Pack is coming, where, you know, your missile tokens will be able to buy something for Frozone. Frozone rework, question mark?
The only thing I think Frozone needs is one less magic on each of his abilities.
Yeah.
Because he has a good kit. I have spent, since Raids came out, and I re-looked at every single character's kit, Frozone has a raid-worthy kit. There is a way to use him, and I'm going to find it. That is my personal goal, because he has the ability to put on Stasis, which has to have a home. He has the ability to slow, to put defense down, hit flanking opponents with slow. Between the amount of debuffs he can put out, as Frozone, he should be able to do it faster.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that if they dropped each of his abilities, which are right now a 4 and a 5, just down one each, it would change the viability of being able to use Frozone.
Yeah.
And it's not because, you know, of Edna mode and guest or anything like that. It's just as a tune, I feel like there's a home for him.
And I think if you make Frozone's kit usable, you change the Incredibles viability at a baseline. Because Jack-Jack is random, but he actually hits pretty hard. Bob, tank-wise, is fine. He's not amazing, but like using Jack-Jack's auto when Jack-Jack's leveled up on his counters is actually incredibly nasty. We play in a extension of duration meta right now where Elastigirl's still the highest single target delve in the game. Like her attack still the highest base attack of any character in the game for her attack stat?
I do not remember, honestly.
I know at one point she was, and we've gotten new characters in this deluge of characters since then, but I still feel like she's way up there. And I mean, Dash is nuts, right? So,
I mean, Dash is Dash. If you have the ability to farm Dash, stop everything you're doing and farm Dash. You're going to use him for every single game mode.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those plug and play tunes that it doesn't, you don't have to have synergy. Just throw in Dash.
Because
he's that
he does
strong.
He's his own synergy, right? He is.
Yeah.
He was Elsa before Elsa, but then we got Elsa. Mm-hmm. But if you all of a sudden make Frozone where Elastigirl's extending his slows consistently, if you get to where he's protecting people who are in trouble with stasis and all those kind of things, like all of a sudden that's a vastly more viable team. Because if you ever fight a high tier Incredibles team, they are a lot nastier than anyone gives them credit for. The difference is you have to play them right. And even with Violet, if you play Violet correctly, like her kit is vastly lacking compared to her friends, and Hero just does shields better now. But I mean, I unlocked all five Incredibles, and you and I are on the Incredibles bandwagon train, and they are my club dungeon team now just because it gives me a way to use them. But my Incredibles are in the 30s and the mid 20s, and I'm still clearing club dungeon as a thing, right? Because they are a good team. They just are a team that is forced to be a team. But that's flavorfully correct, in my opinion.
Well, I feel like, unfortunately, Violet gets a lot of hate because her kit is exclusive to really having synergy, really with only the Incredibles.
Yep.
You know, you can't move her around to another team. And for her to be at her best, not only does she have to be with the Incredibles, she has to be specifically with Dash, who is, as we just said, a very viable plug-and-play literally anywhere. So you put those two things together, it's tough to want to continue to use her. Now, you can take out, and I previously used to take out Violet and put in Frozone.
Mm-hmm.
And my strategy was have Dash go, get all of his moves off. As soon as I get Frozone, I'm putting Dash into stasis to protect him for two turns so he gains two magic abilities. And then the second he can go again and really, you know, get his second attempt of the dash, then you're golden for the most part.
Yep.
There is a lot we can do with the Incredibles.
Mm-hmm.
In raids, in conquests, even in PvP now. You know, I've seen a lot of teams get tested and they've gotten a nice little revival. Like, hey, don't forget these guys. They, for a while, Bob was very, you know, squishy. People weren't really farming up Bob. And now that people are starting to see a gear tier 6, a gear tier 7, Mr. Incredible a lot more, they're going, oh, I see what you're doing here now. Because all of their strength comes from their level 3 abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what stinks about them.
Yeah.
Is you have to get them to at least gear tier 5, ideally gear tier 6 and 7. I just finished mine yesterday to gear tier 6. And eventually I will bring the team up to gear tier 7 because of Edna Mode and Guest. But that's a down the road path. That's something for me to work towards. And they're wicked.
Yep.
They're absolutely wicked at that strength. But almost exclusively at that strength.
Yep. And they're fun to play, which I admit is something I don't find with some of the other metas in the game. I don't find them as fun personally to play, but I find the way the Incredibles interact. And I like, personally, the fact that if the movies teach us anything about that group of kids, about that family, it's that they are stronger as a unit. It's the entire bent of the first movie is, you know, I can't do this alone. If we work together, we don't have to. Like, they should just outright be better when they're together. And Dash is plug and play, but I think most people would still argue he is better when he runs with the Incredibles. He's just the rest of the Incredibles aren't as good as him. And so I like that there are teams like that in the game. And I like that there is a reward for investing in them where they become monsters, where they, you know, when you get to that gear tier. And I like that there are breakpoints like that. It's just hard in a game like this to feel inhibited for several gear tiers until you get to that point. So
Yeah, I know.
So, but okay, moving on a little bit. So last patch note, Maurice spawn copy's damage was fixed. I know there was a bug where they would just do one damage.
Yeah.
So he went from strong to stronger in being fixed.
Yeah. Watch out.
Yep.
Watch out. I cannot wait to wake up tomorrow and test two things specifically. I can't wait to test Cauldron and Bucket of Soldiers exclusively. Because now, if you take Maurice, who takes a summoned and makes a copy of that summoned, and now it fully does the correct levels or power, if it's a true copy, and that, especially for those who have a level 4 Cauldron, now mine's only level 2, where it emits 2 magic.
Yep.
And people have been using Maurice to duplicate Cauldroner now, for example, in raids, where you put out another Cauldron. It has a very low health pool, but with that one Cauldron, it will, whenever it procs, it will set out a magic, which is good, because it's its second magic. But now if you do that, and by the time you're listening to this, you'll be able to go into your game right now and test if this is true or not. If you have a level 4 Cauldron and you make a copy of it, and now each of them are giving off 3 magic each to random players, or Bucket of Soldiers, if you have a built-up Bucket of Soldiers, even to level 2, anytime each of those buckets gets a turn, 6 little army men are going to come out and attack a single point, and every basic is going to have 2 army men attack a single point. Uh-oh. Yeah. Maurice may completely change how people structure conquest because of the specific tunes that you would want to pull. Him extending Yokai's spires is huge.
Yep.
And the best synergy that you're going to see within it is going to be Maurice with Merlin. Probably the two of them with the Onward duo in some way, shape, or form specifically. Because the option for Merlin to go back and forth between giving a cooldown to Barley if we need to get a double crit or a double fast attack out of Ian because you need strength there, or if you can give it over again to Maurice so he can get more copies out of whatever you're copying, there's going to be a lot that Maurice is all of a sudden going to change with these copies. And I cannot wait to start playtesting this tomorrow and seeing what's going to happen. Because if it's like Shadow, where it gives a certain percentage, it's not a true copy, it's, you know, 30%, 50%, whatever, in strength. Or if you have a spawn, for example, that does work, for example, Sergeant Calhoun with the Ray of Light, alternating taunts, going back and forth between multiple rays of light, and then all of a sudden your opponent just straight up can't attack you. Unless if it's a multi-person.
A big AoE, yeah.
Exactly. To take down those and then constantly have them copied and you're buying yourself time. There's a lot that could change just from his kit alone. And I am so excited to play it tomorrow. I'm very happy that this was fixed. I hoped it would be fixed, which is why I'm invested in Maurice. And on the day that I'm probably going to bring him the 7 stars, he will have this fixed. So well, it's going to be a good combo.
I played against a team in PvP today that was using it on Genie Shadows. So it was just giving you double chance to get Genie Shadows. And it was like, because those shadows were only hitting for one damage, but you could tell he was like testing his proof of concept in what was right. going on. And it was definitely one of those. And it was one of those teams that was running a bunch of low health people whose purpose was to die to give more space for Genie as mm-hmm. a thing. And I'm pretty sure it was literally like, trying to remember the team makeup, Chunk, just for the constant stream of taunt, and mm-hmm. Maurice and Genie, and then the other two people didn't matter because they were just going to die. And so it was literally Chunk's job to just sit there and get aggro every other turn, and then for Genie to just destroy everything. And just...
Yeah, just from the assisting on them alone,
yep.
I can see what you're saying where, okay, put it onto... Or even if you put it first onto Genie,
mm-hmm.
then make a shadow of Genie with the double, because I think he... Does he register as offense or support?
I don't remember. I can look...
I'm looking right now, because if he registers his offense...
Support.
That's insane. It is support?
Support.
Okay, never mind. So, if he... I was about to say, if he's getting double crit on top of it...
Yeah, no, he's...
Then you shadow the double crit with the extra...
It was still bonkers to watch. Like, as yeah, someone... Because yeah. they didn't last, they just died. Because, obviously, those shadows weren't doing... They weren't doing full damage. But tomorrow... That team has propensity to be a lot more nasty.
Oh yeah,
as a thing. So
yeah,
and I feel like I feel like instead of running Chunk, you just run Kristoff and just give crit to Genie and then shadow Genie and then just start spawning, mm-hmm. especially in a world
or like I said with Barley, yeah,
Barley and
same thing. You do it, you know, put Genie, Ian, Barley together with Merlin and Maurice.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun. Yeah, I think it'll be a fun thing to watch. I'm not looking forward to dying to some of the ridiculousness, but if there's anything this game needs, it needs a meta shake mm-hmm. because triple silence is boring. And
I mean, now it doesn't matter because yeah. I mean, just the combination of Maurice Dash, all the more reason to invest into Dash. Maurice Dash is just insane. It can clear a team in a turn.
In nothing.
In two turns. It's absolutely ridiculously insane.
Yeah.
And on top of that, for those who don't know, Maurice has the single highest crit damage in the game currently. The only tune that will have more eventually will be Ursula when people are able to actually unlock her. Right now, his crit percentage is 212% maxed out.
It's so weird that just the... That Maurice is the character that walks out of there as you know, so insane. It's just a weird thing.
We'll keep the synergy. It's good to be a dad.
Yep. That's true. All right. So besides Maurice, you and I didn't farm Beauty and the Beast like at all. My wife did. Mm-mm. My wife went nuts because she chases the shiny object. But I know you pay a little bit more attention to the grander scope of the higher level play is the better way to put that. Let's not give anybody the impression I don't know what's going on, because I do. But I don't play at the same level that Matt does. Did Beauty and the Beast shake up the meta, besides Maurice and Dash being insane?
I think there are more extensions of the meta now. Where originally... Go back to about a month and a half, 2 months ago, before the 14.0 came out.
Mm-hmm.
The meta was triple silence. It was almost exclusively triple silence. Hero, Baymax, any combination of Hero, Baymax, Bubbles, Honey Lemon. Who am I missing? Anna. Elsa. You know, any five out of those six, basically. You could switch one of the supports. That was the meta for a while. Then all of a sudden, Davy Jones got a huge rework, and you now start seeing him in some of those teams. Then Sheriff all of a sudden came back into realization that his belly bump...
Big belly bully,
big belly bully just completely single shots 20K plus in a very, very fast, easy, quick manner.
Which is
so put that into
always,
it.
Always done that. It's just so funny how those things get forgotten.
Exactly. And there are other tunes out there that people are starting to say, hey, don't sleep on. Perfect example, Disney Daddy just brought up another T8, and he didn't do a very popular one. He invested into Monterey Jack. Keep an eye out, because we don't know about it yet. But he knows something we don't, so we'll see.
Yeah.
It's just when you see Belle and Beast in the meta with a princess variation by putting Belle, Beast, and Mulan, especially now that Mulan got fixed, where she's no longer giving turn meter, she's now taking turn meter, finally. Put it all together, yeah, you can make a pretty meta competitive team. And that's fun. I like that there's an extension of the meta, because eventually, the more you extend the meta, it's no longer meta. It's just your top tier.
Yeah. And that's what this kind of game needs. You can
start varying it a bit. It's not just, all right, who's got the better stone on the Super Silence team? Ooh, got it.
Yeah, who got the RNG turn meter at the start, exactly. Right? And that's
100%.
Yeah, to me, that's what this game has always needed. It has always been. It's one of the reasons as I have played, I have not felt super inclined to hard push out of gold in PvP. I still see a broad variation of teams in gold PvP because people are messing with things and people haven't necessarily invested as much. And I'm sure people get annoyed at me because I play Big Hero 6, but I like how Big Hero 6 works, and so I play it because it's fun and I'm good at it, not necessarily because it's insane. But
people felt that way when Frozen came out. People felt that way when The Incredibles came out. People felt that way when the Onward Duo / Trio came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to keep happening, especially with group teams. But on the opposite end of it, what do you not see this go around? Beauty and the Beast teams.
Yep.
That speaks its own volumes.
And we didn't see Sensational Six teams during that first three.
No, you can't really yet. You did start to see some duck variations, but I think we do need those last pieces. Assess what has happened or is going to happen with your investment into these characters.
Yep.
And darn it better be good.
So Miguel came into the game as a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have gotten very unlucky in that I have had three of my gift drops when I click not give me tokens. I go in, I claim, everything disappears, but my token count doesn't go up. So I'm not likely to see Miguel as a thing because I'm not getting the tokens. My son's having the same issue. My wife's not, but my son and I both have had the same issue. I haven't looked at his kit because he's a buy-to-play character largely at any decent level. And in a world where we both know I protest that kind of crap hard, I didn't bother to look because it's not a tune I'm going to get anytime soon. What's his kit like? What's is he gonna have an impact or is he a novelty?
Yes, maybe, all kind of mixed together. And I'll explain. So he's finally a mythical leader that we've been asking for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he gives us a speed boost to mythicals. Now, you've already got some very fast mythicals at the moment. People forget how fast Hades actually is. You know, he can be rocking 130 speed just by himself without stones. You know, that's pretty...
That's quick.
Pretty meta keep-up worthy for, you know, Lord of the Underworld. But getting an extra 10% and then a further boost per what they call encore note, kind of a think like a charge onto the tune himself. So at any point, you know, if he maxes that out, it could be a 20% speed boost for mythicals. And I like that they did have to emphasize non-summoned mythicals specifically because of Cauldron, which as a spell counts as a summoned mythical. Otherwise, that would have just been outright broken.
Yeah.
So I've got him and I've been playtesting him. And I'm not sure exactly what home I want to give him yet. Because I'm testing him in Conquest this week as just a mythical blown-out team, first off. You know, I felt like I kind of need to see if it's going to work. The downside is all of my other mythicals are gear tier 6, 7 stars, and then there's little old Miguel at 5-5. So I don't know how well it's going to hold up, but at least in the beginning, if he can give a speed boost to everybody, that's huge. On top of that, the big one for me is his very first special, which gives haste to the adjacent opponents. So I'm like, okay. So we've got an extra variation of how we can use him, not just, you know, prevent people from dying, because he can revive, well, help prevent death of certain tunes if you bring it up to certain levels, which I like. And he increases speed meter as well. And gives unstoppable, which people forget about all the time, and how important unstoppable right now is, because it prevents you from getting charm, silence, sleep put on you, which is huge. Huge, huge, huge. So if he's inflicting that on adjacent opponents as well, there's got to be a way to kind of really push his kit just in that aspect alone. So I was already playtesting him with Merlin, because that ability is a 4 recharge. And then if Merlin is putting on tactics and then giving 3 charges back to that tune, Miguel, that he can use that ability literally back to back and then give unstoppables because of tactics also guaranteed, which how fast it happens is insane. And I absolutely love that combination with him. His second special talking about is yelling towards raids because it takes 2 harmful abilities and flips them, which I like that they're doing more flipping rather than cleansing. Where it gives you the option to turn it to something positive rather than, okay, it's gone.
Yep.
Give me something out of it. And I also like that his ability prioritizes the 4 top most annoying debuffs to remove. Charm, sleep, stun, and silence. Then he gets a little bit of a AoE health, like single charm health. It's a good support kit. The mythical synergy from his leadership is almost a thing that doesn't belong.
Yeah.
And I think if they used him without that, if you take him out of that leadership role and actually use the tune, he could be a very viable replacement for Hero in a lot of positions. For example, one of my favorite teams I've been using with him and testing on stream has been doing Frozen with him. A lot of people like to run Hero with Frozen.
Yep.
And anytime you can have flexibility for Hero, it's a good thing. Miguel, putting him in the same position in the back, so that way, front and center, you've got Elsa. Then in the back corners, you've got Anna and Miguel. Between the two of them, giving haste and magic, the shortest I've gotten it down to is in 13 turns, I have Elsa empowered. And that's with a gear tier 5, 5-star Miguel. He's not at top speed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets faster, so does that empowerment of Elsa get faster too.
Right.
So I do think there's a home for him. And then, most importantly, in between Anna and Miguel, I put Cauldron. So when they're hasting, they're also hasting the Cauldron on top of it. It's just vicious. Absolutely vicious how fast the abilities recharge. And on top of that, you're getting health out there. You're getting debuffs flipped. It's a good kit. He's a tune that, as we see, eventually, when he becomes more available and there's more exposure to him and more content about him, he is going to be a worthwhile tune, 100%. Mm-hmm. But you're going to use him in extremely different ways in every single game mode. I don't see him being a PvP booster except in, you know, gold and platinum. I don't see him moving up into a meta position at all. In Conquest, he's a great defensive plug and play for Tower 10 with the mythical boost to really give yourself that extra protection. I can see that there. at the same time, in live play, whether it's raids or on the offensive side of Conquest, he has different constructions because you're not going to really take advantage of the mythical leadership as much, maybe with an onward trio. So that way you give Manticore an extra little, you know, boost of speed, which is always good. Do the onward trio, Merlin and Miguel. Great team. Great team. Best overall team for multiple game modes that I like with using him specifically. I think that he has homes, but take your time. If you want to whale out, go for it. Just take your time otherwise, because I think people need to really experiment a little bit more before we say go all in. Because he's a good tune.
Well, and if there's anything that we're learning in recent memory is that, and it happens in all games. I don't know how much, you know, League of Legends people watch or Smite or any of those kind of things, but there are always going to be characters that people forget, you know, with the, like the Sheriff of Nottingham syndrome and the fact that it's like, oh, we just forgot Sheriff existed and now he just annihilates people. People forgot that the Incredibles team was a thing. And all of a sudden you have people with gear tier 7.5, gear tier 8 bobs that can just eat all of the damage. Right.
Yeah. It's vicious.
It's so funny. And that is a thing that as the game ages, people are going to see happen. You're all of a sudden going to go, oh, I had forgotten this tune. And this tune is a monster. But the new shiny distracted us from that. And that's what theory crafting is for. And that makes me terrified of Monterey Jack as a thing, because I'm pretty sure I have 0 Monterey Jack tokens. So that'll be interesting to see what Disney Daddy's figured out,
If anything. I'm curious, too. I'm also curious because live, as we're doing this, the tag for the Mickey and Friends with Gizmo Duck has been removed.
So it was a mess up in the first place. Interesting.
That's a new one. Interesting. Very interesting. Because I was going to pull up Sensational 6 to kind of figure out, well, what do you think's coming next?
Yep.
And then that popped on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. Something's wrong here. Something's here that wasn't here before. Anyway, sorry.
Let's talk Sensational 6. We talked about the Frozen PvP takeover, so we're going to skip that part of our notes. I will be honest, I thought that the Sensational 6 Part 2 wasn't coming. I was surprised when it was in patch notes today. It is so far distant. Now thinking about it, I feel there are a couple of factors. I think they've reworked kits on these last three. And potentially when Sensational 6 Part 2 rolls around, we may see reworks on the other three. It would not shock me. If we don't get the rework now, you have to do your investment based on going in blind. But then when it rolls around, because those kits are underwhelming. They're fine. They have an interesting duck team, but they're underwhelming for the face of this franchise. Yeah.
Some of them are literally broken too, which they ideally are going to fix on this release too. But
and so I could see us getting reworks to the original three. Even if they're minor reworks, I could still see them tweaking kits around, fixing the bugs, but maybe some changes. And it would not shock me if the reason it has taken us, what, a month and a half now to see Sensational 6 Part 2 is because they pulled the plug back and reworked the final three kits to have them be worth using as a thing. Because I do remember there was an extreme amount of vitriol against the weakness of those initial three kits. They were not, there were people who just didn't touch them because they weren't worth farming. So I think we could see reworks. Do you still believe, because you have been quoted on this podcast several times, that there will be no Mickey Mouse?
The stubbornness of me wants to say yes, that that is going to be the case, that I don't think we're going to get another Mickey. But there has been way too much information out there that leads to, look, you're getting another Mickey. It's going to happen. You're going to get Clubhouse Mickey. Or,
you know, which is just Mickey Mouse.
I would think they would name it as Clubhouse Mickey, mm-hmm. as Classic Mickey, because I don't think you can put the word classic on it. I don't think it's going to ring the same
just,
way.
I think we just get Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, very possible. But being that they've articulated specifically Steamboat and Sorcerer, mm-hmm. I think that we're going to see Classic or some other, or Original or Waltz Mickey or something. I don't know, something like that. I'm just trying to decipher as a team, okay? Right now, they've already released out two defensive units. So if there is going to be a team of, as there always is, BH6, there are six BH6 characters. Somebody's the odd man out. In that case, it's Fred. Beauty and the Beast, there are six characters. Who's the odd man out? In that case, it's Maurice. In the Sensational Six, with the two tanks that currently exist, who do you remove? And I'm going to be personally upset if it's Donald.
I think it's
because
Goofy.
He has a Ducks leadership.
And
that's why I think, because Maurice got a leadership and he's the odd man out. I think it's going to end up being Donald. And I'm not.
But he synergizes too much with Daisy.
Exactly.
And so, like, to me, that's why I think it's Goofy. Goofy has...
The opposite. I think it's the opposite, though, because Goofy's going to end up needing to have the synergy with Pluto, Minnie, and Mickey. So if you got four people right there, then you got to choose. What do you want? A double tank situation because you built up Donald? Or do you want the offensive support because of Daisy? And more often than not, people are going to end up saying, I'm going to want actually Donald if I'm going to make a five exclusive. Or if Mickey comes out and completely throws a wrench in all of our, you know, gears.
He's a third tank.
And no, not a third tank, because we already have a Mickey that's a tank. But if he comes out and his leadership is for Mickey and friends, not Sensational Six, which I could also very well see.
Yeah.
Then we've got some fun things that we can mess around with, because now you've brought Big Bad Wolf back into the picture. And if he's getting another offensive boost or another speed boost or whatever because of Mickey Mouse or Pete even, who really does hit like a truck. He's just not very fast.
Yep.
You know, it could bring some viability back to some of these tunes that you may have invested in very early on. Used them in the mid game and then they kind of fell off for a little while, because that's what happened to me. You know, I used to use Pete a lot. I really like his kit, but he's just not fast enough anymore in the tier that I currently play in.
Yep.
Big Bad Wolf has a very good kit as well. And then he was literally broken for a short period of time, which made him falsely meta. But now with his fix, it'd be nice to see him have a readjustment. I could see that maybe this Sensational Six fix that they're talking about with Mickey and friends could be leading in that direction, that they're leaning towards Mickey and friends as the leadership, not Sensational Six, to give you that variety for whatever Minnie, Mickey, or Pluto has as the ultimate leadership. I think that it's going to end up being Minnie Mouse who has the leadership ability, because she's the bringer together or person, if you will, of this entire crew. And I think that from every time we've seen it, the legendary does not get the leadership.
Right.
Beast does not have it. Elsa does not have it. Baymax does not have it. Mickey's not going to be a leader. I think it's going to be Minnie, personally. Pluto, I think, is going to be an offensive weapon. Maybe he'll just pee on people. I don't know. But I think it's going to be a fun kit.
Speaking just in theme with the season, every time I think of Pluto's kit, it's going to be Pluto from that Chip and Dale Christmas cartoon where he just destroys the tree. Like, that's the Pluto that I see us getting. And I need Goofy to strap on a football helmet. as a thing because of all those, all those. And that's the only reason, going back to flavor, because we hit that. It's one of the things we get comments on on the podcast is we like how you guys look at the gameplay from a flavor perspective. Mm-hmm. Goofy has a ton of his own standalone shorts more than any of the rest of these characters. I could see Goofy being the odd man out for that reason. Because in flavor, Goofy has his standalone.
As you could do the same, say the same thing with Donald. However, there are specific costumes in specific shorts that Donald Duck has done that you do not want in this game. And I'll leave it at that.
Yep.
Do your research.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know. It'll be interesting because I just... With all of the built-in synergy between Donald and Daisy, I imagine we will see very similar synergy between Mickey and Minnie as a thing. I think that Pluto will get a ton of buff from Mickey as well because he's, you know, he's Mickey's best friend. That's the... It'll be interesting to see.
I think you'll see one. I think you'll see one synergy specifically probably built into Pluto's kit, not Mickey's kit.
Yeah.
Because I think Mickey and Minnie will have that synergy. I think Pluto will have a boost of something over with Mickey that will not define his use. That, oh, well, I have to use him with it. I think the dogs are going to have a little bit of a flex ability in that aspect. I think that it's going to be now seeing Mickey and friends. I think that it is going to be a Mickey and Friends leadership. It's not going to be Sensational Six. And I am curious to see if it's Pluto or Minnie who gets the leadership role. Me leaning towards
Minnie. I think it's Minnie. And I think that Mickey Mouse, because he is the harbinger of Disney, right? He is that face of Disney, and he is the bringer of the magic. And if you watch documentaries and you watch all these things, you know, there's that big, he does the sweeping magic thing. I think we're gonna see a Mickey Mouse that makes that, that does kind of what the Merlin does. I think that we're gonna see a Mickey Mouse who gives the magic to teammates and makes teammates get to do what they do better or faster or whatever. And I think that that could be.
So you think he's gonna be a support then?
I do. I think that Mickey is gonna be a support. I think,
I think Minnie is actually going to be the support in that exact same command where she has the commanding role. She kind of directs people more so and says, let's do this. And then Mickey goes, yeah, you know, oh, that's a great idea. And then just kind of does his own little, you know, leadership version of what she said.
Yeah. But so, I think Mickey will be a support in the same role that Genie's a support, where Genie just wrecks face. But is a support character. And I think that Mickey is going to have that big hard hit. And I think that Mickey is still going to, I think that the makeup of this squad is going to be very interesting when it comes to roles, because I think you're going to see, personally, I think we're going to see a weird diversity where it's like, well, who, I don't have the traditional tank support, three damage makeup that a lot of these groups have. I think we've already seen with two tanks between Donald and Goofy. I think that it's going to be interesting. I also need Disney to quit making things with six main characters so that they quit messing up my game. That is a thing. Going forward.
You want trios again?
I need trios or I need five, right? I need the full five. Like, because Big Hero 6, not getting to bring in Fred. Fred's my favorite character of that show. He has the coolest kit. But Baymax does the job better and makes the other characters do the better thing. Right? Well, I mean, Fred's still great.
I'll give you this piece of advice. If you've got BH6, you know, at any star level, any gear, doesn't matter. If you have all six characters unlocked, yes, the obvious play looks like remove the tank, put in the other tank. But Baymax is kind of a Swiss Army knife. He's more of a support sponge than he is a true defensive tank.
Yeah, for
sure. So, for example, I'm running BH6, obviously, and I love actually keeping both of them. The person I took out was Gogo.
Oh, see, and I've done it, but I swap out Wasabi.
And with me taking out Gogo, I decided to put her on Frozen. Because Frozen, after all of those defense downs for two turns, on the first round, really gets some nice extra boosts from some big smacks from Elsa and from Sven. Very, very fast, very quickly. I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I tested it, and I said, this is what I'm going to do, because Wasabi is great, but Wasabi's secondary home. If you're going to do the same thing and you're going to take out Wasabi, put Wasabi on Oceanics, specifically with Moana, because Moana inflicts a taunt automatically.
Yep.
And Wasabi has a synergy where he gains power
from the taunt
on his attacks from a taunt.
Yep.
I use that in raids. And it's a great strategy on how to pull certain BH6 characters out. For example, also taking out Honey Lemon and putting her on a princess team, as we briefly talked about earlier, is a good option. The downside is the support is really, really needed if you're running a true BH6 squad of five characters. You kind of really need to have
Hero, her charging
Baymax,
people up.
Exactly. And Honey Lemon to give the charges.
Yep.
You really want those three. The other three, you can kind of mess around a little bit.
Yeah.
Fred, you can put almost anywhere, continuous damage, or as a tank anywhere, literally by himself. He's just that good and can mess people up. And we just went over the other two. So you have options.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel like you got to get stuck. And that's something I've been trying to branch out of myself. You know, I do roster reworks online for anybody and everybody, and that's really started to push me to look at rosters and synergy differently. That's a perfect example, is BH6. Don't feel like you're stuck to, well, this is what it should be, and Fred's the odd man out.
Well, especially
Fred's got great synergy with Honey Lemon. Careful.
Well, and he's just, I mean, his taunt hits like a truck. I mean, you can one-shot people landing in on that taunt. You know, you actually get a Fred time all the way up to where you can throw I Breathe Fire out and put four stacks. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
My issue is I love to run Fred with Demona because I love to say, here's your four stacks of taunt. Oh, and you did not expect me to just kill you, right? So that has been where my Fred has actually gone, is my Fred has gone to my tech team while my Bakura 6 has stayed. But I do like swapping Fred in for Wasabi because I feel like I get the big single target hit and then spread it all out. And then just so many teams right now in the meta, I feel like Gogo's ability to kill the entire team in attacks is more valuable than Wasabi focusing down one, because there are so many threats right now that I have found that killing a lot of threats very quickly is the most impactful of a thing.
I'll give you one other one. Onward Trio, Simba, Wasabi.
I love the Onward. I love the Onward Trio and Simba together. I have been doing that for a while. I've been I can't remember who I've had in there. I've been running Merida in there as a thing. I like when, what I have done with it is when you run Onward Trio with Simba, your taunt doesn't fall off a ton, but if they do manage to drop Ian, because anyone with half a brain is going to target your Ian and kill your Ian as quickly as possible, you just put all that crit on Merida when she fires off her big wisp bolt, you know, with her big single target, and I mean, you just drop characters. You just absolutely turn.
You got the wisps loaded up. I mean, that makes sense.
And you put the crit
on. I just
wouldn't
have thought of it. That's a good one.
On Merida. So, alrighty, we're gonna just briefly touch on sprucing up Main Street because we have run long, but we were off last week due to my issue. Club Dungeon needs some adjustment. Club Dungeon needs reward adjustment, because I really do appreciate the question mark coins that I get every week from having a capped out infinity die, but it needs some adjustment there. But it needs a theme convergence to me. It needs to feel cohesive. And I don't find Club Dungeon to feel cohesive. I'm fighting this big random mishmash of characters that doesn't make a whole bunch of sense. Mm-hmm. And I find it very immersion breaking as a thing. And the other thing I want is I want a difficulty chooser. You've given us a difficulty chooser on raids. Let me crank up the difficulty on my Club Dungeon, because I'm sure you do the same. I know lots of people do. My wife does. I do. For the first 19 levels minimum, I press the auto button and put my phone down and do something else while my Club Dungeon finishes. And on level 20, the only thing is, does Zerg get to go first? And if Zerg gets to go first, the Club Dungeon is slightly harder at level 20. And if you get Mim and Zerg going first, then it's even a little bit harder than that. But for the most part, I can auto through all 20 levels, regardless of which of my three dungeon clearable squads I put in. That's really boring for a core game mode.
Yeah, it is. I'm not gonna lie. I would love to see a rework, and they don't even have to do anything crazy. Mm-mm. Okay. If you're going to make us go through this laboriously to get to, you know, do it, okay? You haven't touched it since launch. So you have your top possible characters in level 20 up to a gear tier 5, 6 star, level 50 group of tunes. So that way your push is to get to gear tier 5 to... or pass for gear tier 6 or higher, get to that 7 star. So that way, doing Club Dungeon is then easy. But even from launch, after you play the game about 2 months, you're done. And you're there, and you've got a squad that's over 2,100 in power, and boom, you're in. Like, and you can do it even faster nowadays, but it's amazing how it has been like the stepchild of DSA, mm-hmm. where there's so much that they could do with it, but instead you're giving me missile token. That's not doing something with it. Doing something with it is give me 8 more nodes. Bring it down to 7 layers. I've been preaching this forever. I might have preached it here. I don't know, but I'm going to say it again. Real simple. Right now you've got 5 layers that it goes down as you descend to get to level 20. Once you beat level 20, you're kind of stuck there, okay? Continue down 2 more floors of 4 nodes each, so you have 28 levels. Build it up so that you have to get up to a gear tier 7, 7-star character that you're facing on level 28. And it better be Hades, because you've just gone down 7 layers under the ground.
Yep.
If that doesn't equate to meeting Hades, especially mm-hmm. mythologically, mm-mm. Sorry, then you're really missing a big opportunity here.
Yep.
Because then at least those who are in the uppers and the metas have a challenge, number one. But number two, even somebody like myself, now I'm very proud of the account that I now have, and it's taken a lot of work to get there and a lot of investment of time and resources to get there. But if you put up a group of characters that are gear tier 7, 7 stars against my tunes, I am going to struggle. I can't beat the last genie node 8F right now, still with my current villains, because it's just not strong enough yet. Mm-hmm. And I want that node. And I'm stuck on it. I can't 3-star it. If you present something of that nature in difficulty in Club Dungeon, people will be happy because they want to get their butts kicked. People have said it before raids and still want it today. It needs a spruce up. I like your idea of the difficulty chooser, where, you know, you could choose your Club Dungeon for the week mm-hmm. at the very beginning of that reset, where it's like choose your own path,
yeah.
tier 1 through heroic, if you will, and that's your Club Dungeon. And you go through it, and same thing. You complete the level, you get the full reward. You don't complete it, you get the half a reward of whatever layer version it is. I like the Club Coins. I think most people only do it for the Club Coins nowadays, yeah. but it's still not even enough resources at level 20. Get us up to 1,500 a day. mm-hmm. not this 1,100 a day. Nothing crazy, but it's an extra pack that we can get from the store.
Yeah. I'd like a difficulty chooser. I like the idea of extending it. I don't like the fact that I get to 20 and then I farm it for 2 days, 3 days, whatever it is. You know, assuming you have any door opening luck at all, or you are in a club that has enough people to open doors quickly, you get through, you're at level 20 with 2 or 3 days left in your week, and you farm level 20 if you're, you know, if you're a pass holder, you know, what is it, the 4 or 5 times a day, and it's a snooze. Give me 2 more layers. Theme out each floor better than has been done. You know, those mm-hmm. nodes need to be unified in arena, and they need to be unified in enemy type. Give me a downtown floor similar to what we have with the Zerg stuff, but give me, you know, an oceanic floor. Give me you've shown you can do it in Towers of Endurance. Theme club dungeon, because it is one of your core repeatable daily nodes that we're all doing for guild, club, whatever credit every day. Give me a theme. So I go down those floors, floor me down into a mythical Hades arena in tier 7 with Cerberus in the background being animated. You've proved you can do it with your Ursula stuff. This is a core game mode, and it needs to have attention, because when your core game modes don't, people don't care as a thing. Also, in addition, in my opinion, give us 4 versions of Club Dungeon. I don't really think it's all that much work, because your characters all exist and you're just changing the background and plugging them in. You're not adding mechanics. You're not doing insane things. But give me a different thing to farm each week to where it's exciting. Where it's, this week, we're farming, you know, I don't care if Infinity's Dice stays in there for 1 of 4 weeks, whatever. There are new players who don't have it. But week 2, it's this spell. Week 3, it's this spell. And week 4, it's this spell. Give me something so that a week rolls around and I can get excited. And heaven forbid, Glue, make it exclusive to Club Dungeon.
Yeah.
To where it's week 2 of the month. Everybody gets excited because I'm going to look
Honey
at the honeypot. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to look at the only spell that's not in the game. Honeypot is through Club Dungeon. You fight a Heffalump and Woozle boss at the end of your Club Dungeon. Not raid style. You've shown you can just put random little characters we'll never earn, like trolls or hyenas. Just put in some Heffalump and Woozles. Let me beat my Club Dungeon. And that's the only place in the game I get Honeypot. And you make it something you chase. You make it something. And even if you have 2 difficulty sliders, normal and heroic, the only place you get it is Club Dungeon. Because I need to care about the core club game mode. Because you know what I've stopped caring about mm-hmm. entirely? PvP. Because you put Goofy in my chest. And I don't care. I just don't. When yep. it was Yokai, I cared. Because it was the only place at the time I could get Yokai at all. When it was Jack-Jack, I really cared. Because he's a pain in the butt to get.
Yep.
But now that it's Goofy, I don't care. It just doesn't matter to me at all.
No.
They need to, one of the things, it's a gacha game, and I get that. I understand. And I have been called out on comments about the fact that I was impressed with the person who found the email that's associated with the iTunes upload and emailed me to tell me that I give whales too much hate. You can ask my friend Matt. I don't think I give whales too much hate. I think I give whales an eye roll, but I don't think I give them too much hate. It's their money. They do whatever they want. And I get that it's a gacha game, and I get that they're going to monetize. But you know what else it is? And one of the reasons I started playing, it's an investment game. It is a game where my time, my energy, and my resources mm-hmm. are respected. Give me things to chase that I can chase. It's a conversation that has happened with every looter game from Diablo to Destiny to whatever. And that's what this game is at its inherent base, is instead of a gun, I'm chasing a character and I'm chasing spells. Let me care. Or else I'm going to log in and I'm going to go through the motions of auto winning on the people I'm farming. And that's it. And that doesn't hold me in a world. That's why I left Empires and Puzzles. It's why other people leave these kind of games, is when you reach the point that all you do is you hit your auto win button, spend your 10 minutes, then you turn your game off. And that's just not, that's not fun.
I think DSA has started to finally show on the opposite end that it is listening. And I think one of the ways that we're going to get a true definition of how much of a gotcha is this game going to probably turn into is come February. There's going to be a moment where the top 10 clubs who have started to do heroic raids are going to get close to unlocking Ursula. And that's going to be around late January, early February. If all of a sudden you see a pack of 50 Ursula tokens for $50, one, the whales are going to buy it. But two, the whales are going to buy it and then also complain about it. Because we should have those exclusive things that you can only get via X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. The only way to get it is by investing your time, not just your financial resources, your time into doing what you got to do to get a character, to unlock a character. And many games are very good at doing this. And I do like that DSA has a little bit of a balance of, okay, we're going to let you take your time and you're going to farm this, but we're going to give you the option to whale it out if you want to. I would like them to take a semi kind of a MSF route where the amount of packs available for purchase at any given launch should be reduced. They should be available. I think that's one way you do it. But you actually, if you do the math, the company ends up making more money, not by giving out three packs of Lumiere packs that you can purchase, but by actually only releasing one. They make more money because people will then invest it into the gem packs, the 800 ones, and keep doing those over and over and over again, rather than having to purchase another two packs. The company would make a lot more money. The game would be a lot better because you couldn't max out a character in a day. Literally, in a day. You know, there are many times we see some of the top streamers, all of a sudden, character comes out, and then that night we're testing him at Gear Tier 7, 7 stars.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be that way. It should be by the second rollout.
Yeah.
You have the ability to finally bring this character up. Mm-hmm. And give us the time to learn the mechanics and the ways that we could potentially use the character. That way, when it comes out again 3 months later, ha-ha!
Yep. Well,
truly meta-breaking. It was worth your time.
Yeah. Like, and I absolutely agree. We need things to chase. We need them to be tied to the game. To me, it still raises the pain point of the fact that Ursula tokens only come from heroic raids. I still think that's bad design. I still think that it shouldn't come from tier 1 or tier necessarily 2, but tier 3 should have Ursula tokens in it.
I agree.
And in that same token, you know, with a difficulty slider club dungeon, you know, heroic should give more, but normal should still give some. Because I'm all for, you know, respecting my time investment. That's why I have a video on my YouTube channel of the reason why I fell in love with this game, and it being an investment game is why. I play Destiny, I played World of Warcraft for 10 years, and I play games where my time is evident. But I'm not someone with money running out my ears, which, to be fair, in a lot of these top clubs, you're full of whales. That's all you got playing. Is you got people who are throwing thousands of dollars at your game. They should not be the only people who can unlock things, because catering to the top 1% has killed more games than I can count. And that's the lesson that I really hope Glue learns, and quickly, because especially in a world where, for whatever reason, we are being deluged with characters as fast as we are, which is a topic for a different episode, given the length of this one. Yep. It is becoming increasingly difficult as a free-to-play player to keep up and not get angry. Not just annoyed, but outright angry at the inability to keep up with as fast as characters come out. Because I just can't. Just outright can't. And
I'm someone who's invested into the game in a similar aspect, maybe not Crazy Whale, but as someone who has invested into the game, as I just said with Beauty and the Beast, I had to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've spent literally every single day for the last X amount of months that the game has been out playing the game.
Yep.
At some point throughout the day to do my dailies and get my rewards. Almost without missing a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had that same exact moment when Beauty and the Beast came out, and it blindsided us.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't saving up for it. I wasn't ready for six characters to drop, yet alone one that could potentially be crucial in raids. And I had to make a tough choice of, do I, you know, stay the path, or do I go after the shiny object to be able to keep up? And as a content creator, that was a tough decision for me to say, mm-hmm. I don't have Beast.
Yeah.
Because I didn't invest X amount of gems and resources and time and farming, et cetera, for the 10 days that it came out so I could possibly have the character. It was a tough decision, and they've made it, with the amount of characters coming out in the last 3 months, made it very difficult.
Yeah.
But that's also part of the game. We're now at a point where it's no longer the 60 characters from launch. You are going to have to start making those choices as the game evolves just over time naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So people who start playing the game right now, you know, I've started alt accounts recently just to try other things.
Yep.
And I'll tell you confidently, it is really tough.
It's bonkers. Yeah.
It's really tough.
I've had friends and family members who've reached out to me and been like, I downloaded this. And no. Like, I am so far behind. I don't know what to hit on, you know. And there are lots of free-to-play farming guides out there. But it's still like, you know, there's like, what, three or four good options for free-to-play. And you have to make this choice. But you're going to be... And I'm all for choice. I'm all for growth. I'm all for all of that. There are going to be comments on this video that are like, oh, there's more of ET complaining about whales. And there's going to be comments on this video of, you know, you choose to play how you want. I play how I want. And I choose to spend my money. And I have nothing against anybody who chooses to spend money. That's 100% your prerogative. And that's great. It's your recreation time and it's your finances. As long as, in my opinion, if you're putting yourself into debt to play the game, you're making bad decisions, but that's a personal stance. Don't put yourself into debt to play a gacha game. But at the same time, those whales, that top 1%, that top 1% to 5%, I guess, of players cannot exist solely with each other. The game is not supportable with only those people playing. You need the rest of us as a thing to provide the population, to provide the download numbers, to provide the interest, to provide the hype, to do whatever. Putting in things like Ursula that are completely and utterly unobtainable by my play level, which is, I haven't missed a single day of play since I downloaded the game. I'm a decent player. I have good teams. I know the synergy. I know the strats. I do whatever. My hang up is I don't spend money. Period. I can't obtain those things because I haven't spent money to the point that I have the ability to farm that particular raid. To me, that's bad design. To me, it hurts your player base more than it encourages people to spend money, because there's a thing about encouraging people to spend that I get. The one pack to finish your X, Y, and Z thing off that happens to come at the end of an event at a discounted price. That makes sense. I get that. That's good marketing. Good job. I understand. the character that's completely unobtainable unless I spend thousands of dollars to be at that level isn't. And I will get off my soapbox because we're at almost an hour and a half. So with that,
no worries.
Thank you everybody for joining us and for sticking through and listening to the episode. As always, I have been your host, Eric Taylor, a.k.a. The Extraterrestrial, and I would like to thank the wonderful guest, my co-host, Matt Strebel, for coming on. You can find Matt on various places, and he's going to tell you about those.
Yeah, easiest place. I right now I'm streaming about 3 times a week on Twitch. You can find me at twitch.tv/EdnaMode_and_guest. You can also find me and my giant estate group of clubs, as well as our public community on Discord. You can see the description in the video for YouTube underneath as well for that.
Yep. And I stream occasionally on YouTube, but you can also find me here. I make variety content. I don't make just DSA content. I know I have recently lost YouTube subscribers because they're like, oh, you don't make just DSA. And then they left. Just don't watch the video that isn't related to DSA if you don't play. But I make content for Destiny 2. I make content for DSA. I have another game that I have gotten back involved in that I've been talking with some people about making videos for. So I make guide stuff. I figure stuff out and I make the guide and teach you how to do it. So if you like that, take a look. I don't do that for DSA because, again, I don't spend money and it's real hard to come watch my video on, you know, is this character any good when I don't know because I don't have it. But with that, we're going to get on out of here. So as always, good night, good luck, stay safe, stay healthy, love one another, and peace on Earth, Earthlings. Bye, everybody.